Welcome to the Men of Eight Gang podcast for Saturday, January 23rd, 2010. This is Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
Hey, good morning.
And Graham Thickens.
Hello, guys.
And the comedian Flip Wilson. Oh, no, Phil Wilson. And, no comment, and our very special guest, Paul DeBettings. How you doing, Paul?
Doing well. Thanks, guys.
Well, I wanted to, for those that don't know who you are, and probably everybody does, why don't you tell us a little bit about you? I mean, you've been writing the Minnesota Headhunter blog since 2005, and you've got all kinds of stuff. Go for the Roses. I understand you like football and the Gophers and the Vikings and so forth. And tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been recruiting IT folks in Minneapolis for 12 years as a one-man band of an IT search firm, which is to say I have officially survived my second recession of my career. And while that might seem like a small feat to some folks, yikes.
Yeah.
And like you said, I've been writing on and off. I mean, to say that I've been writing a blog since 2005 makes it seem like there's going to be like 1,000 pages of content. You know, I don't think I've even cracked 1,000 yet, which means I need to do a better job at feeding the blog, but it's just an interest that I have in the business community and the nonprofit community in a way to be able to try to tie some things together and maybe try to share some things that are going on that, you know, like the left hand may not know what the right hand's going on. And, you know, there's a few folks in Minneapolis talking about recruiter HR, employment career stuff, but not many of us. So it's, I guess sometimes I find myself sitting in the middle of a lot of different folks, and that's when a rant tends to come up in my mind.
Like the one you wrote yesterday.
Like the post yesterday.
Yes, and I have to admit, I egged him on. Paul and I kind of collaborated on him going forward with this, and so I hold some of the blame or credit, but he wrote it, and I just helped him edit it a little bit, and I think it I think we need more of this kind of stuff around here, apparently, by the looks of the reaction.
Oh, definitely discussion. So where did this go? Where did this come from, Paul? I mean, what was the genesis of this rant? I mean, is it just what you're observing? Is it not just at Minibar, but at other events?
Yeah, I would suggest, Graham and I spoke the other day. Well, I mean, what really did, the straw that broke the camel's back literally was that particular session at Minibar. So it has nothing to do with Minibar. I love Luke and the guys who put the event together. It has nothing to do with them. It has nothing to do with Luke's leading of that startup session that day. But a bunch of things just came to me in my mind. Like, again, it was part of the conversation was what's the difference between Silicon Valley and Minnesota? And it literally was, you know, Graham was a couple rows behind me. I was in the fourth row. You couldn't hear these folks as they would say their name, their website, the name of their company. I mean, there were 8, 9, 10 folks who probably introduced themselves. I only heard 2. And I'm like, if there was ever a time or a place where I would think that you would want to, if there was ever a time and a safe place to say that you're heading up an idea, you've got a startup, you're working on something after hours, it was then, you know, it was then to say, you know, here's who I am, this is what I'm doing and what I'm working on. And, when I can't hear someone's name and other people are going, who's that guy? That then transferred into the next part of the conversation, which is how could we have that many folks in that corner part of Best Buy who didn't know who each other were?
Yeah.
And then you tack on the part about, again, job seekers looking for jobs and whether it was a startup or just a tech company or just a company in general that was there that day saying, you know what, I can't find good folks to hire. You know, if you're familiar with Lewis Black, the comedian,
yeah,
he has a thing from a few years ago that talks about, you know, and I always hate using the beginning part of the story because in case someone was ever impacted this, but how brain aneurysms occur. And it's, the gist of it is that an idea goes in one ear or a thought or something, and it doesn't come out the other ear, and it festers. And that's kind of what's been happening over the last, you know, what Doug said, it'll be interesting a year from now, however he said it, you know, a year from now, what will these, you know, how will we have, how far will we have gone or whatever he said. And I'm like, we're not going to go anywhere at this current rate because we're talking about what we did a year and a half ago at Minibar.
You know, one of the things about a lot of the comments under the post was a recognition that there is, frankly, not a very tight-knit community here. It seems like it's more tight-knit than it was even 2 years ago when we started Minovate. But what do you guys think? I mean, Tim, Phil, what are you guys seeing?
I think it's the, you know, the problem is not necessarily the lack of opportunities for startups here. I think it has to do more with the ability to raise seed capital and to kind of get things kicked off. And I think that's the critical missing element here that we don't have, that we really need.
It's really all about the money and the risk. I don't know, maybe it's because our Midwest sensibilities, we're averse to risk, and that probably transfers over to those that have some money. They didn't get that money by necessarily taking bad risks, but at the same time, a couple of times that I've gone after some dollars for us, a project or something like that, it usually comes down to, well, you know, as soon as you have, audience, traffic, customers, whatever, then we'll invest. It's like, well, I really need to get money to move to that point where I can get a product out that allows us to draw money in and draw users in. So I think there needs to be a little bit more early on investment. I'd love to see it at least a little more early on investment, somebody willing to step out a little bit more. But at the same time, I understand, you just don't throw your money down a hole. So,
well, one of the comments by James Ostheimer, I don't know if you guys know him.
Yep, sure do.
Yeah, he pointed out some positives, which I thought were great. You know, people are willing to help, and they're willing to have coffee and get together and good community events. And his negatives were seemingly less angel money floating around. Definitely a fragmented community. The community seems to be centered around several of the large dev shops in the area. And then getting the word out nationally, those are his big three negatives. And he says, I don't really have any answers, but reliable seed funding, to your point earlier, informal hangouts for developers and web geeks, and a nationally recognized conference. Paul, what are you seeing as catalysts? Is it the seed funding? The fact that people look outside this market for talent?
I wouldn't be the one to ask about seed money and things like that. That's way outside of my ball field. I look at the thing, the issues that I am seeing, having a recruiter or an HR person's, hat on for a minute or for most of the day is, here, just some examples. If someone right now were out, if a person from Minneapolis moved out to Silicon Valley 2 years ago, 5 years ago, whenever, and they wanted to come back, where would they go to look for a job? It doesn't necessarily mean, and I'm getting way past the monster and the dice and those sites. We really don't have. It doesn't need to be focused, a job board. It doesn't necessarily need to be focused on the tech startup community. Rick Ma and Michael Robitine and I are having a conversation about what to do for that marketing, PR, social media group in Minneapolis. Because again, you attend an event and you hear someone say, again, this is this Lewis Black conversation in my head, out of my left ear, I can't find a job. Out of my right ear, I can't find good people. And it just drives me batty. I also would suggest that we don't, again, it's the idea of the Midwestern sort of, passive aggressive, we're not going to promote ourselves and then we're going to complain about it later. Hey, that was pretty good. I almost used a different word than complain. My cleansing of my curse words is working so far. We have to get past that. Rick Mons built the largest social media breakfast group and the longest running group. Say that outside of Minneapolis and you go, really? Or we don't, how many blog posts were there not, is a better way of asking the question, after Minibar? I mean, there were a lot of bloggers that were in the room that day, and I didn't see as many blog posts as I had expected. I think that we need to do a better job of articulating who we are, what we're doing, what's going on, what's cool and interesting about Minneapolis. Talk to our friends who have gone somewhere else. Even if they're not going to come back, do they have friends that will come here? That's kind of where my recruiter part is. And I think about the marketing of Minneapolis, but this is a part of our culture. I would suggest that if we do not get past this, we're going to have this conversation 7 years from now.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's, reaching out nationally is part of the problem here. And that touches on the early stage, seed stage funding problem. Yes, the local folks are less inclined towards risk. All the more reason we should be seeking, investors from outside the borders of the state. And they do make investments in other locations from time to time. It's not impossible. It does happen. There are plenty of firms, startups here in town that have succeeded in raising money from outside of Minnesota. And maybe we need to find out more about that, find out how they did it, and try to encourage more of that.
You know, and if I could jump in again, I would suggest that some of the things that were mentioned in some of the comments we're just now getting into. Right now we have a couple of really good co-working spaces. That was a total new concept to me this summer. And I did finally make my way over there at the end of November and the beginning of December. And I would see folks from the tech community and the PR marketing, the social media community, and it's not a I guess I would think it would be a huge gab fest, right? Everybody talking and sitting around and laughing and joking, and everybody was working, but then someone would have a conversation would start between two people, and then the third person might jump in, and that might last for 5 minutes, and then they would go back to work again. And as being as a having been a one-man band who had office space up until 2 years ago, I realized that I had forgotten what it was like to be around a group of people during a day. But these are there are opportunities for folks to get together now. You know what Zach is doing, him being a tech guy, with his third place Minnesota site over there in Como. It's an opportunity for the tech folks to get together, and now we have space to have meetings. You know, Don Ball and I had a long conversation about this a week and a half ago. Is even if I wanted to do a career related job search presentation, whether it was for the tech community or for anybody, it's really difficult to find space. But now we have some space, so. I think that that's one of the things that we talk about is, you know, what are the centers? Where can people go to hang out together? You know, my friends in Silicon Valley say, you know, everyone, there are, you know, a dozen coffee shops where you just, as soon as they open, they're full of tech folks. And I think we need some more of that collaboration too.
Yeah, yep, for sure. And the next SMB MSP is going to be at COCO, correct?
Yep.
Well, I have a question, and this is more recruiting related, and I guess has to do with the talent, not just technical talent, but also, you know, business development, operations, sales, various leadership roles, and so forth. I've been trying to keep track of what's going on in this market and nationally with what economists are saying about jobs and about the economy coming back and so forth. And my brother-in-law is an executive recruiter. He used to be with Korn Ferry and A.T. Kearney, and he's got his own firm now. And he is always my canary in the coal mine relative to things happening, because typically he'll place senior executives well in advance of when hiring begins. And his, the hockey stick hasn't come back.
Nope.
And he and I have had conversations. In fact, I'm going to see him this afternoon. About jobs not coming back and certain categories not coming back, and the shift from, you know, corporate type roles to more free agent type roles. And so here's the question to you, Paul, is there not a model yet? I mean, I really like the co-working aspect. Is that a glimmer of a new model, of a new way of bringing free agents together and having the startup community say, you know, I need you because you're a PHP coder, and I need you because you know operations and business development. Any way we could work together, you know, we can't do it full time. But are you seeing any new models, or is there anything that's emerging?
I will put this in the comments once we get this posted, because I want to attribute this to my next thought to someone, but I cannot remember for the life of me who it was. The analogy they were giving was, a lot of companies now are moving to more of a movie type hiring of employees, where it's, you're hiring writers for today, you're hiring camera guys for tomorrow, and when the project's done and everybody disbands and a new movie starts. There are companies who are moving to a bit more of an employment model in that sense. So it might not be that, you know, folks are going to even work at a Best Buy or Target for 2 or 5 years. It might now be 6 months and 9 months. And this is, again, the part where some sort of a site needs to be created where people can be looking for, you know, if I were to say I'm going to be finishing my contract March 1st, you know, I want to start looking for my next contract, my next project, well, now. But in Minneapolis, we really don't have a site for that. I think that the startup companies could do themselves a huge favor. I know that they're concerned about being inundated with resumes and contacts. And this is the double-edged sword that the industry is seeing right now. You know, 2 years ago, and I've written about this quite a bit, 2 years ago, someone like me, a corporate recruiter at 3M or wherever, would be like, you know, man, I just can't get these people to call me back. Right? The economy was good. People were happy with their jobs. Everything was fine. Now we have, it's reversed, right? We're the ones not getting back to people. And I would suggest that, well, we've been talking about the PR marketing world's been talking about branding, you know, for years. Employer branding is a very relatively new concept to our industry, or at least new enough where everybody's paying attention to it. And I think about the damage that companies are doing to themselves. So if I were a startup, while being, you know, receiving 100 resumes in a week might be a pain in the butt. That is a talent pool that you're developing for when you need to hire more folks a year from now. And it's customer service, and it's being a member of a community. And more than that is that if you do not return the 98, 95 email, how much damage are you doing to your company a year from now? But it's actually easy right now. Small, medium-sized companies, for the most part, in our market, have been hiring to some extent during the recession. And a lot of companies have made huge headway, in both hiring and in developing these talent pools. Someone had mentioned one of the comments last night, too, about, you know, the mentoring idea. You know, there is no way that this one blog post, our conversation today, and we're never going to get through all the issues, some of the solutions, you know, the conversations that are going on in other places, but we need to start addressing some of the stuff now, because, again, I would suggest if we don't do this today, 2 years from now when the economy is back, we're all going to be busy, we're going to be working our butts off, we're going to be paying off debt from this recession, we're going to be looking to save money for the next one, we're not going to come back to this until, you know, we have some free time again.
So, Paul, I'm interested in this job board idea you have, but I heard you kind of talk about two different things. One is a job board for finding free agents to do this kind of virtual corporation kind of thing. And then the other is, I guess, a straight ahead job board for local companies to find talent, right? Do you think that's one or two different kinds of things?
You know, my sort of, as I've been thinking about a lot now in the last 3 weeks, you know, I'm not looking for a job board that looks like Monster. I'm looking for something that functions a little bit like Craigslist, because it doesn't need to be pretty, but it needs to be moderated. You know, a lot of folks have been saying, but Paul, there is a huge, vibrant Craigslist, you know, job board here in Minneapolis. You're right. And it's not moderated. So you don't know if the jobs there posted are real or not. You don't know if someone is trying to fish for someone's identity. I would also suggest that being able to have it so that a company can be completely private does not help anyone. You know, so you could have a job board in the one sense, where a tech startup, you know, a tech-related company, it could be 3M for all I care, says, I need to hire a web development manager. And they can click, you know, full-time. This is a full-time opportunity, a part-time. It can be consulting or after hours. So if there are seven guys, you know, in the fictitious garage who will suddenly need a PHP coder for 8 weeks, they can put, you know, after hours, because they just need the work done. It doesn't need to be done between 9 and 5. On the talent side, you could have it so that people could post, I am a PHP coder, and my contract ends February 1st, and I'm looking for something for April 1st. And here's my skill set. You don't need to post a resume if you don't want to. Here's my skill set. Here's my summary. Here's what I'm good at. I think a lot of times people will not create job descriptions because if you've ever read it, well, we've all read job descriptions, right? They suck. And they read more like a tech specification for an iPod than really say, what are you going to do in this job? I think if we could get some of the companies to start just creating hiring profiles, talent profiles, here's who we're going to be needing this summer. We're going to need 5 web developers with this skill set. We want to get the word out now so we can start networking with folks so when we're ready, we can go. So a job board, it's probably not the right phrase, a talent community, I don't care what you want to call it, but so an idea where both people can post what they're looking for and talented folks can post what they're looking for, and it can be on one site.
Yeah, it sounds like Elance to me.
Yeah, it's a gig match site is what it is. It's a gigs board.
To some extent, yeah, and I wouldn't suggest that someone wants to get into the business of actually doing the matching. I would suggest that this should not be a large revenue producing thing. A lot of folks, a lot of websites will look at a job board as being a significant revenue stream. This is how we're going to make our money, and I think there's a mistake in that. I'm going to tread softly on the next one. Jeff Pesek pointed me towards an article in Finance and Commerce that the Minnesota High Tech Association has their job board up. And it's been up for a while now, but I think this was the first article I'd seen about it. And it is, if you are a member of MHTA, you can post your jobs for free. And I don't know if it was someone at the High Tech Association who gave this quote, or it was just the reporter writing it. But then one of the last lines was, or for a nominal fee of $300, anyone can post a job. I have a news flash. what monster? $4.25, $4.50? Where are you going to post your job if you're going to pay that much money? Well, you're going to go where there's going to just be more people. And two is, $300 is not nominal. We're seeing pricing pressure in the recruiter HR industry. And if we're going to develop a job board to serve the community, it needs to actually serve the community. So at some point in time, maybe you want to start charging ads, or, you know, charge the consulting firms and search firms, folks like me, $25 or $50 so that we don't overrun the site. But if Tim's working with Phil in Steve's basement, well, that was kind of a picture that for a minute. if the three of you are in Steve's basement and now you need someone to build some WordPress site for the next 10 weeks, you're not going to spend $300 to post an ad anywhere. But if you could just post something and maybe even one day it cost $10 just so you can keep the site up and running, you would do that. But this idea, though, that I get revenue is needed to keep things up and running, but we actually need a job board that's going to serve the community versus serving someone's pockets.
Yeah, well, the Minnesota High Tech Association, unfortunately, is not really in support of the startup community. It's about the big tech companies in town. So we certainly can't look to them for help in the startup world is my take on it. But what you're talking about would be great, Paul, if somebody would step up. And you actually volunteered to moderate that board in your post, right?
Well, and it was right after that mini Barbo 8, I had put together, here's an idea of a job board, and sent it out to some folks. This is not going to be, Steve, if you want to edit this out, I'm joking, that this is not going to be a good marketing pitch on my behalf as an IT recruiter in Minneapolis. But you know what? I don't know what most folks do. I've had my blog is on TypePad, and I don't move to WordPress because while it looks very pretty, it also looks a little more difficult to use. You really don't want me to try to create something. I can moderate it. I can promote it. I can find the ways to make alliances with the recruiting community and the hiring community. And if somebody wants to build a job board, I would gladly volunteer my time because I then look at, again, my other side of my ear. I'm already hearing from some tech recruiters in town that in certain skill sets, talent is hard to find. If we're a year and a half before a really good recovery, what's it going to be like a year and a half from now if you're a recruiter or a hiring person in the Twin Cities? So the best time I would suggest to start a job board is, 3 weeks ago at the turn of you're coming out of a recession, it's the new year, new hiring begins, new budgets are available. This would be the best time to have something up and running.
Yeah, I agree. But moving on from tech gigs, I'd like to get back to the management talent thing that Steve kind of alluded to. And Paul, as somebody who's got a got a good reputation nationally, and you know, you attend conferences and evangelize for Minnesota as well as anyone. What's your take on attracting management talent for startups to this town? I remember for many years we had a guy by the name of Dennis Anderson who did a pretty darn good job of convincing some early stage emerging company execs to relocate here to the Twin Cities, but he's no longer with us. And I'm sure management recruiters, executive recruiters all over have trouble getting people to locate here because of our famous winters. But what's your take on that? On that, Paul, is there any sign of any hope there?
Well, I would, you know, whether you're trying to lure talent to Minnesota, to Minneapolis, St. Paul specifically, if you're just trying to lure talent to your company, I mean, you have to be able to answer the question of why. You know, why should I go to work for this company? Why should I relocate my family to Minneapolis? So there are really two sorts of different conversations to be having. Is why would, I'm sorry about the frog in my throat, why would either someone who had grown up in Minnesota, who's now in the Valley or Austin or Boston or wherever, or someone who's interested in the idea of coming to Minneapolis, why should they? And I would suggest that even on my own side, I haven't been able to do a good enough job of explaining, you know, why Minnesota? Because there is a sales part to this. You know, it goes back to the dot-com days when we were putting the billboards out in Silicon Valley trying to get our friends to come back home. Again, this would be a great time for someone or a state or a government agency, as much as I'm not a big fan of them, to say, you know, how do we get the talent to come back to Minneapolis? I mean, if you're in a company in Silicon Valley right now and you're thinking about what's going on with state government there, Minneapolis looks really, really attractive.
Well, you know, if I could just interject, because I believe me, I've been thinking about this a lot. When I joined Authorware back in the 1980s, you know, the proverbial startup, they just raised $3.5 million and they hired a bunch of people and built out the ninth floor of the 8500 tower down in Bloomington. And Bud Culligan came in. He had run the higher ed group for Apple. And his wife hated it here. They had a nice home and all of that. But he was really having a hard time because there was a bunch of people that he wanted to hire out in the Bay Area that would not come here. So he ended up moving the company out to the Bay Area and then merged it with Paracomp and Macromedia and made Macromind. But it was that sort of mindset that the talent's just not here. And we've learned over and over and over again from people like Doug Olson and Jamie Thingelstad and others who have said, no. You need to understand, especially in Doug Olson's case, where he has point blank said when he built the Adobe engineering office, he said it was arguably one of the top, if not the top engineering office in the world. He's done the same thing again with Microsoft. He says again and again and again that we have world-class talent here. So what's missing? I mean, it's not just a matter of the community has to get together, or there needs to be a Minovate and a Tech.mn and a Cold Start and those sorts of initiatives to showcase things. That's all great, but you know, it really does boil down. Phil, you even said it. It boils down to the seed capital.
It's the money. You know, I also wanted to point out a couple of answers to those questions that have been offered on in our comment section on this post, particularly two folks that hopped in early on, and these are comments from early on in their responses. So first, let me just weigh in on a couple of them. One was Jeff Pester, and when I say weigh in, I'm going to offer these out. Jeff articulates two issues that he thinks are barriers here. There's a fundamental structural components missing from the MN ecosystem that are absolutely necessary to get and keep the flywheel moving. Without addressing these issues, any other efforts will have only limited short-term effects. Now, he doesn't necessarily articulate in this particular comment what those structural components are, but his second is there are people that are effectively acting as barriers to progress, either actively or passively, through their desire to control groups, organizations, etc. So there are a couple of comments there from Jeff. Further on down, Mark Kermish also weighs in with some stuff that I think are a little bit more focused and maybe a little bit more locally based in the fact that he asks the question point blank, where's the U? You know, where's the University of Minnesota? And comments further on down the page also indicate that people are running into a lot of barriers with the U as far as trying to access either their technology research or funding. Mark also says that where's the state government? You know, is it really that tough to craft a bill to get, you know, an investor tax, you know, an angel investor tax credit? And then he also asks, where are our companies, 3M, Medtronic, St. Jude, Target, all of these huge companies, what are they doing to help, you know, the small startups? And then also startup mentors. We all know there are plenty of mentor groups out there that may necessarily be state funded or something like that. But who are our mentors and that sort of thing? What do you guys think about some of those comments from just two of our posters on our board?
Well, I think calling out the U is huge. I think it's time for the U to step up. There's no doubt about it, and state government too. But I would go back to other parts of the ecosystem, and again, this management talent. I have heard VCs say, you know, we've got tons of great developer talent, technical talent, engineering talent in this town. The piece that's missing that they look at is experienced management, you know, whether it's marketing, business development, operations, sales, that have worked in successful venture-backed startups before. There's a huge ready supply of that in Silicon Valley. There is precious little here. And the ones that are experienced end up leaving and going back out to or going to the Valley like some of the guys did from Net Perceptions. So this is a problem. And I think the key is to get some of these guys returning that were raised in Minnesota, went to school here, have wives from here, coming back here. They are much easier to recruit. And we see this all the time. We're seeing it now with apparently one of our commenters on the post, Thomas Knoll, talking about coming back to Minnesota. I mean, here's a guy that's got experience apparently with a venture-backed startup in the Bay Area, but still has ties back to Minnesota. That's great. You know, we need to get more of those people coming back. I think that's one thing. But I'll let somebody else jump in here.
Well, I'm sorry, I just want to jump in on the U of M thing, and then I'll pass the baton. Do you guys know Justin Porter?
Yes, I've met him.
Yeah, so Justin, you know, he's working at the University of Minnesota Venture Center, and he and I have had great conversations. Wow. He's a super guy and working on some stuff there at the U and so forth. And one of the things that he and I talked about, and of course nothing has happened, but I have had so many different coffees with people that are doing different initiatives and startup this and that and intrapreneur things within companies and so forth, that would love nothing better than to tap into the brain trust at the U in areas like social anthropology, you know, groups and professors that are studying what's happening with social media and culture shifts and meme transitions around the world and all the stuff that's happening at the Digital Technology Center relative to, you know, the internet specifically, but what's happening with the web, what's happening with internet too. There's so many opportunities for the U to take a leadership position in teaching and holding seminars and workshops. And I think part of it, you know, this mini WebCon coming up is a great effort to bring together the web-centric community for that sort of effort. But, you know, it's like a mini bar, a mini demo. They're great. They're fabulous events. It's a great networking opportunity. But then what? What happens in between?
Yeah, that's the key. What happens in between? Boy, is that, you hit on it there.
I want to go back for a second. When you're talking about trying to get talent to Minneapolis or come back to Minneapolis, I would suggest that to bring this back to Gopher football for a minute. Minnesota,
because
has
that's
for a long,
that's important.
Everything, you know, comes back to Minnesota football.
I'm just saying. I think that our state, our technology community has had the same perspective that Glenn Mason had when he was recruiting players. You can't get them to come to Minneapolis. It's a cold Omaha. There aren't mountains. There aren't oceans. Blah, that's crap. There's no reason why a Tim Brewster-ish type person can't come to Minneapolis to find 25 kids nationally and locally, right, that want to come to Minneapolis to play in a Big Ten school outside in a big city. We need to change our own mentality about what it's like to be here. And that really, if you can't tell, my tone has risen in my voice, but we have a lot to sell here. Our office space is less expensive than anywhere else. You know, our development costs are less expensive than anywhere else. I talked to a couple of web shops 3 years ago that said, when the slowdown happens, because you could kind of see it starting to happen, a company, any company could be working with a web shop in New York City where the rates are what, $2.50 an hour? They could have brought it to Minneapolis for $100, $100.25, $150, and had really good work done at a much lower rate. I mean, there are lots of reasons why business should be done in Minneapolis if they don't know. And again, we have to give people a compelling reason why to come here. And maybe we need to do a little bit of a Tim Brewster, right? Here's what we're going to be. Here's what we're going to talk about. Here's what we're trying to get our community to. And we may not be there yet, but this is the direction we're going in. We need some folks to buy in early. Come back and let's go.
Well, you know what you just hit on? I mean, you just sparked you connected a synapse connected a couple of brain cells.
Did it hurt, Steve? Are you okay?
Yeah, it happens every week or so. What if there was something like the Minnesota Film Board, Film and TV Board?
Yes.
I mean, that's kind of what you're alluding to, right? I mean, to leverage your movie analogy from earlier, the Minnesota Film and TV Board is all about promoting the state, coming up with tax incentives, figuring out what it's going to take, finding him, helping, scout locations, lining up talent, et cetera, et cetera.
In short, yes. I mean, we need to, what concerns me, so my Minnesota recruiters group, we just had our ninth event, and I am blessed and fortunate that for every event, I've had sponsors for the event so it can be free to attend. What I think we forget is that sometimes we just need to do events to get them done to help promote a community and worry about the making money part later. You know, I know exactly how much it costs for me to do an event for breakfast and a mid-morning snack beverage run at Best Buy, and it's not $1,500. So if I have a couple of sponsors, I can cover the event. I can cover the expenses of the group until we have the next event. We need the university to give up its space. We need corporations out. You know, General Mills hosted one of the other recruiter networks in town yesterday morning. I was not aware. General Mills has an auditorium that can seat up to 350. And I had no idea they had space that large. The reason why I've been going to Best Buy is because they invite me. It's kind of an open-ended invitation. They're awesome, easy to work with. There's a caterer on site, and the theater holds 250. The conference rooms can hold 250. We need companies to be able to give up their space for these events, you know, and there is a reason for 3M and Best Buy and Target to be participating in these startup conversations, because not everyone's going to want to come to Minneapolis to work for a startup as a tech person. They might want to work for a really large company doing really cool things. So there is an incentive. There is a reason for these large corporations in our town to get behind just bringing folks back to Minneapolis in general. We were concerned about the brain drain during the .com. Now would be a time to grab those folks back. So it is in all of our interests, you know, of course, to be an importer of folks, not an exporter.
Hmm. Yep, well said. Yeah, we were in that room at General Mills for the Blogwell Conference last August. That's a great venue. And our friend Don Smith at General Mills seems to be well connected into our social media community, if not our startup community, but maybe we can start seeing them hosting more meetings.
Well, because it's the cost of, you know, you do an event at a hotel and it's going to run you a few grand. So you may not have enough sponsors. So now you have to charge everybody $100, $200 to attend. But if you are a developer and your company's not paying for it, what are you going to do? Are you going to work that day and bill, or are you going to put $200 out of your pocket? And of course, we all would rationally suggest that, you know, further training, further education is always important for your career. But at the end of the day, particularly right now, you know, that's a $300-$400 swing for a day. Maybe you can stomach that during the good days, but during these rough days, maybe not so much. So we need people to we just got to take a step back and figure out how it is that we can be putting on, you know, free or really inexpensive events to help promote a community, to help educate folks. And again, you know, Matt, I when Matt Noah was here doing his NetSuds events, you know, 10 years ago, those did get quite a bit of buzz. Not just outside of Minneapolis. And we need to, again, I can't stress that enough, because again, why would someone send work to a Minneapolis web shop if they're on the coast? You know, what are they doing? What's their experience?
Listen, I hear you as far as getting events put together and groups that gather, but look, you know, we've got to stop expecting some of these people that put these things together. And, you know, look, I'm speaking from experience and speaking that, you know, I'm actively involved in putting on an event that we are going to charge money for. But, you know, you've got to allow people to make a living. You can't keep going and saying, okay, look, we need another event. We need another free event. You got to make the event free so we can all gather together. That's not necessarily productive for everybody. I love the fact that we do have a myriad of free events to go to, but I think if you want to kick it to the next level, there has to be a commitment from people to attend. There isn't an event we go to, guys, that doesn't either sell out or fill up with 400 or 500 registrants. And on the day the event rolls around, 180 of them show. You know, so I think that I don't want to hang this on this. I want to do a free event. Free events are not the answer. It's commitment. That's the answer.
Well, and you know, I was at MIMA this past week on Wednesday night, and you know, there's a silo of people that are in that group. There's another completely different silo that are in the mini demo, mini bar groups. And then social media breakfast is a whole different silo. There's not a lot of folks. I mean, maybe just the five of us here are the only ones that sort of, you know, weave between all of those silos, and there needs to be some kind of event that kind of brings together, you know, a richer set of people across a lot of different disciplines.
Well, you know, and that was one of the things I did with our last recruiter event was I invited a bunch of folks. You know, Graham attended, you know, Jeff Pesek was able to attend, to reach out. I have been blessed and fortunate, and you guys are part of that, is that have accepted me not as sort of a traditional member of the marketing PR social media community. I mean, I'm a recruiter, and we don't always tend to have the greatest of reputations.
It's a pity thing, Paul.
Well, you know, what? In that case, and I've taken great advantage of it, and I appreciate it, and I hope that it continues.
Well, if you weren't such a passionate Gopher fan, Paul, we wouldn't.
That's right. That's right.
Talking with you anyway.
So. Me. I see it. But
we're doing sports talk. Friendly, go ahead.
we do need to start cross-pollinating our groups, right? I've seen a few of my recruiter friends now attending Rick Mon's social media breakfast, and here's why I say it's important to my friends. Social media, social networking has worked for me in my recruiter day-to-day job, because I already had always been about relationships and people and building talent pools for what was going to happen. I was stuck in an industry that was all about the here and now. We'll call it hunting. I was more of a farmer. Social media, social networking makes sense. It makes it so much easier for me now. I mean, I used to really work hard. I still work hard, but now it's like it's a different hard. I can touch more people, I can talk to more people, I can communicate with more people, but as a person versus, you know, recruiter, so, you know, executive recruiter guy. So I'm trying to teach my recruiter friends, come to these events. I would suggest that I have learned, when I think about social media, social networking, I have learned about 70% of this from experience, you know, successes and failures on my own. 25% of it I've learned from the social media breakfast, attending a MIMA event, attending a mini bar. And the other 5%, either locally or nationally, comes from my recruiter friends. We need to start crossing, you know, I know that Jeff had mentioned to me, there were a couple of comments that he put out on Twitter that he was curious or wondering why we would think or say in such a way, because it was new to what he would think. And so when we can cross-promote events, or, you know, in my case, I always have a wait list for our events, but I still want to set aside 10 seats every time for non-recruiter folks to bring them into my community. And we got to do that too, right? One of my blog posts was, I realized that my, like, college friends, my recruiter friends, my IT friends, my marketing friends don't know each other. And I'm pretty good at this networking thing. So take that into a much more macro level. Clearly that's the case too, that we need to find a ways to start promoting and sharing things from across different places.
Yeah, I think that's great, Paul. I think from a positive note, I think we're seeing that more and more with MEMA and the social media group and Minibar, Mini Demo. There is increasingly a certain folks from each of these groups that are attending the others, and that can only be good. We need more of that.
And I think it would be remiss of us to not mention Rick Mon's question here, since he was one of the early commenters before we go. And he asked, why don't entrepreneurs and startups seek out the organizations and outlets that can help them spread the word? So instead of Minivate or anybody else going out to try to get the story, why don't they approach us?
Well, I don't know how many folks are calling you guys to get an article done, but that's just complete failure on the, you know, the startup or the entrepreneur's part. That one tweaked me, if you can't tell, too, during Minibar. Folks, they would say, you know, but I don't know anybody in this town. I'm like, well, what are you doing to promote yourself? I get, you know, I'm going to stereotype tech folks for a minute. I mean, here's what I've learned over this recession. There are two sets of folks that suck the worst at finding a job, and I think they're both kind of comical. HR recruiter folks suck at trying to find a job. Marketing PR folks are worse. I would think, you know, I would think they'd have this product marketing thing down, but when it's themselves, man, they freeze and they're horrible at it. The stereotype tech folks for a minute, they have to, the idea of the Mountain Dew Domino's guy in the corner of his basement, you know, with the one light shining down on top of his head and it's dark otherwise. These folks have to understand, and maybe this is why, again, I would like to see an event that would be a bit of a training, for lack of a better word, skill set, you know, create some sort of a skill set program for these folks. Here's how you need, you know, can Graham or any of you guys do a 45-minute presentation and conversation with tech startup entrepreneur folks about here's how you market yourself. Here's how you write a press release. Here's how you contact Minivate or Jeff Pesek or Paul DeBettings or anyone else who's running in this town to get their attention and get some articles about you. You know, I could do a presentation on how to recruit, hire, retain folks.
You know, that's actually a great idea. If I could, I'm sorry about just interjecting, but Mark Kermish, who did some comments under your post, did in fact do exactly that. He went in and to the contact page on Minivate and sent in a note saying, "Hey, here's what I'm doing, and here's what this new startup is, and so on and so forth." And I looked at it and went, oh, this is great. This is very interesting. And sent him an email and asked him a few questions because we weren't able to connect live. And one thing led to another. I did the post. That was the post that week we chose to be cross-post to MinPost because we cross-post once a week to MinPost. And as a consequence, I mean, I'm assuming based on past page views that he probably got a good 2,000 to 3,000 people just from the MinPost cross post, let alone from Minivate. So to your point, that's exactly, well, what a great strategy. Reach out to all these groups like us that are doing, you know, ping Garrick Van Buren with Cold Start and Jeff Pesek and Minivate and why not?
A lot of folks at Minibar that day, I would hear, you know, I can't, you know, where do I find an attorney? Where do I find an accountant? Or folks would say, you know, but I can't attend all these events. I'm busy working. I'm busy coding. I'm busy, you know, doing my product. I grant that, right? It's like my recruiter HR friends will say, you know, I don't have time to attend these events because, you know, I'm busy working. Okay, I get that. But you're only going to be as good as you are then today. You're never going to innovate. You're never going to meet people that you're going to need to know down the road. they have to get, you know, again, to keep stereotyping for a minute, they have to get out of their basement or their garage or the three-person office space and get out and meet folks and start figuring out what's coming next. I mean, I get you have deadlines and you have rollouts. I get all that stuff. But if you, it's kind of like there are some folks that right now, you know, to attribute to the job seekers, there's still a lot of job seekers who are waiting for somebody to knock on their door and hand them a job. Well, it's not going to happen. And it's hard for you guys. I mean, you have day jobs, and it's hard for you to reach out to startups and say, hey, you know, we want to put a spotlight you on Minovate. They have to do their job too. But maybe it's that they don't know how or they don't know where. So I keep coming back to this idea of how do we start sharing resources and how do we start making it so that what I want to do is create something, and it doesn't have to be formal. I want to create something that takes out all the excuses that we're seeing for why we're not doing well to see if it was the excuses or something else.
Yeah, like Lisa Foote says, no more whining. Yay, yeah. Lisa. you bring up a good point, Paul. On that founding team, if the developer is too busy to be networking, then he damn well better get somebody on his team that likes to do it. Yep. And that person better be out there glad-handing wherever he can be. And they need to recruit their own advisors. No, just like, you know, people can't wait for a job to show up on their doorstep. These startup founders can't sit there and wait for advisors just to show up to them either. They've got to go out and find them. And I want to give a hat tip here to the Minnesota Cup. This is an amazing organization that's just growing like mad every year. Last year, they had over 1,100 entries. I would encourage anybody to go through that process of entering their startup idea, whether it is just an idea or hopefully a little further along from that, just an idea, to that competition, which I think has maybe even already started accepting or will be shortly for the 2010 competition. But this is there's a large body of advisors and investors, angels, supporters of all sorts of the startup community that are involved in that organization.
You know, that's a huge failure on my part. I should have mentioned them because that's a no-brainer. I mean, that is an example. You know, a couple of guys and a group of people started a thing to help promote the, you know, to give cash prizes. That's, you know, and what I also would suggest is, and no one, well, I'm going to give you an opinion that maybe a lot of folks are going to disagree with, and let's not create another one of those. Let's enhance that one. I'll say this because I don't want, but it's just because it's on my mind. I love what Jeff is doing. I love what you guys are doing. And I love what Garrick is doing. Please, let's not have a fourth or a fifth or a sixth. Let's make the three that we have. This is the idea. I mean, everyone wants to start a startup. You know, Graham, I think it was you and I, or was it Doug and I at Best Buy on Friday? You know, I hate to use the Chiefs and Indians, but I'll use it. I mean, we need some folks who can, you know, if Jeff's going to start a job board, I want to help him do that versus then him creating one and me creating one. That's silly. We need to start trying to focus our efforts a little bit more, I would suggest, than just, you know, it's the idea between a rifle shot and a shotgun. Let's start having some folks combining together. Maybe they have to combine their two ideas to make one. And I don't remember who it was who said, you know, rarely is there ever the original idea the one that actually goes to market, you know, because things morph and they change and different needs are found. But
that's what Jeff Pester was saying in his comments. So there are no golden ideas, you know. And that speaks to the concern that the people here locally have been so secretive and wanting everybody to sign NDAs. People are really much more open out in the valley, and that there's that Minnesota shy, Minnesota nice thing again. But anyway, go on, Paul.
Some of my friends from out there too, you know, who I've kept track of, that, you know, were even folks that I graduated with in the 90s from the U of M. Even just getting the idea of, you know, I think our culture does play an issue. We just have to, and instead of focusing on it, find a way, not even to change it, but to recognize it, embrace it, and then try something else. The example is out there, you know, people frequently embrace their failures together. They'll say, man, I sucked. I blew this up. That never worked. Oh, I'm such an idiot. Here, you know, it's like, oh my God, you failed. Or, oh my God, I failed, and I'm not going to tell anybody. You know, that we have, I have to believe that we have so much untapped knowledge in our community that it literally, you know, again, back to Lewis Black, it literally gives me a headache if you really start thinking about it. I mean, if the folks who had succeeded in our town shared that information, if the folks who failed in our town shared that information, to make it, you know, pave a road a little bit easier for the next guy or the next lady or the next kid who's got an idea. I mean, we would just be so much, we have no or little historical perspective of the last 15 years on what's worked and what hasn't worked.
Yeah, that's a good point. Failure is celebrated in Silicon Valley. You know, you build from it. You don't worry about it. You go on to the next thing. And so, yeah, that's a great point.
No question. Well, guys, we're, go ahead.
Oh, I got one more for you.
Yeah.
Coming out of this conversation, you know, first of all, I had no idea. You know, Phil was there. I'm trying to remember who was there at Minibar that day when I was dropping F-bombs. It was Doug, Graham, Phil.
Yeah, and John Roberts was probably in the background, too.
You weren't dropping F-bombs that much.
I think at one point, Don Ball just kind of smiled at me and walked away. Garrick was a part of a different sort of F-bomb session. That I never thought that when I did this rant and Graham said, yeah, hey, let's write this sucker and see what happens. First of all, I didn't expect the reaction to be what it's been. I think it goes back to what Thomas Nowell has put on the social media breakfast site, is that it's great to have these conversations, but let's talk about what's next. Let's talk about doing something.
Yes.
You know, if we can put another post up on Minivate in the next week to say, you know, here were the comments. Because I've received quite a few emails, folks that I understand why they don't want to say something in public with some opinions. They really don't differ from what's already been on the comment section, but now what's next? You know, I really think that we need to find a way to create a startup event of some sort that literally will have an accountant come in and talk for half an hour and an attorney to come in and talk for half an hour and get a venture capital and investor person each to talk for half an hour, have a recruiter talk for half an hour, and then break for lunch. And then in the afternoon, have some more conversations, you know, instead of Chris Brogan's idea of, you know, are you trying to create an audience or a community, you know, have the morning be sessions, have the afternoon be a free flow exchange of ideas, people grabbing each other, hanging out in a corner. Well, that sounded kind of weird. Have small group sessions and talk about, here's what I'm facing. You know, I did an HR event back in October, and the idea was, Paula, can you keynote a presentation on why social media matters in recruiting? And I said, sure. Halfway through my presentation, I realized that maybe I had overshot. The content probably was more than the attendees were ready for. And so I then had another session to do, and we found out by polling the tables that they had been feeling overwhelmed. So I started my next session with, I need your feedback, I need your questions, and I hear you're all feeling a bit overwhelmed. The stress in the room went away. The air left the balloon. People laughed. Two people from the same table pointed across and started laughing at each other, because they all were feeling the same thing, but until we actually realized it or recognized it. So we have people in our community, I would guarantee you right now, who wake up this morning, are stressed about something, and they think that they're all by themselves. They're the only ones who are facing it. And let's have those conversations where it's free to share. People aren't going to judge each other, and start sharing some of these situations. And again, I think of all these little pods of people who are out there are going through the same thing. And how do we at least try to pave the road to make it a little bit easier? That's my sermon for the day.
Yeah, I agree with you, Paul. And the only thing I would add is we need to have some way to engage the angels / VC community into these discussions.
That's a great point. I've got some thoughts on that. You know, that was the attempt of the Minnesota Cup guys, Scott and Dan, and other folks in town when they launched the Get Go Minnesota site a few years ago. God rest its soul. It's now gone. But the idea was to try to have a place, an online place where investors, angels, could actually engage with entrepreneurs. But the problem is they all wanted privacy. They all wanted security. The entrepreneurs weren't allowed to reach out and engage with the angels. Only the angels were allowed to engage with them. Didn't work. We need to try to get those guys to come out of their shells a little bit more. We get them to show up at mini bar and mini demo from time to time, a handful of them, but not enough, you know. And so, yeah, I would put out the challenge to them to, you know, step up, you know, get involved. Why are you hiding? You know, you got to get out and meet people and network. And I think some of the guys like Tom Von Custer, bless his heart, he shows up at all these things, you know. He's one of the most renowned local angels, but he needs to get more of his buddies to come out to these things too with him. So, and there are others that I would challenge personally, if not publicly here. Yep. And I will.
Well, guys, we're right around our hour time, and I've got to be a good steward of our listeners' time. But before we go, I want to make sure that everybody realizes that tomorrow there's a game.
Who's playing?
hang on a second. The Minnesota Vikings and the New Orleans Saints?
Oh, I thought you were talking about some English soccer match. Yeah.
Okay, so here's my prediction.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Adrian Peterson, 150 yards on the ground. Brett Favre, 5 touchdowns.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
Tim, did you just come straight from the bar?
I think it's going to be a shootout, and I think that between Peterson and Favre having the best game of the year, they're going to win.
Oh, man.
That's what it'll take.
I like it.
Know?
I like it.
So, well, all count I can on the say blowout. Is, we're not going to the Super Bowl again because Tim has spoken.
No. It's after watching that Cowboys game, because the Cowboys are not a bad team. In fact, they were arguably the hottest team coming into the playoffs.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, you know, they just were destroyed. So it's, I think that the Vikings have this really good chance if they can maintain that intensity that they had last week. I think the Saints really have their hands full.
There you go.
I hope this happens, but I'm just curious. If in the worst case it doesn't go this way, will we need to chip in for a therapist for you?
No. I'm not quite that bad. Then I become a Jets fan.
No. If they lose the proposed $870 million for the stadium, that should be distributed amongst Minnesota tech startups.
Hey, now we're
talking.
There
you go. There you go.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Is Governor Pawlenty listening?
Hey, listen, one last thing, and I alluded to this earlier on in the podcast, but I do want to pass along that something that we're putting together that Minnovate is also a sponsor of, and that is called Mobile March. Justin Grammons over at Recursive Awesome is really kind of the spark plug behind building this one-day event that will help educate and inspire and share information on mobile, not only on the developer programmer side, but also on the marketing and use side. So if you'd like to find out more information, go to mobilemarchtc.com, and it'll direct you right now to the Ning site. The Ning site will have registration information up soon, but right now we're also looking for those that want to present. So if you would like to check that out, please go to mobilemarchtc.com.
I'll put that in the show notes.
We'll have more coming up on that as we get closer to the event.
Excellent.
And if you don't mind, I just want to thank you guys for taking a shot at letting me post something that had been on my mind for a long time. And, you know, and hopefully, if, you know, certainly I don't think I've said anything that apparently a lot of other few people were thinking too. You know, it's not like this was some novel, earth-shattering thing, but I would like to see some more folks be speaking up and talking about this stuff. And, you know, and again, you know, leaving with the idea of, you know, what can anybody offer, you know, for anyone who's listening to this later. I mean, if you're part of a tech users group and you want a career session done, give me a call. I'll come in, I'll do it. If we can get a, you know, it's too hard for me to try to sit down with every company that wants to talk about, you know, recruiting and hiring, because at that point in time, then there might be a fee involved. But if we can do a small group session, a large group session, I'll volunteer my time. If we don't do this, we're not going to have a next Digital River. We're not going to have a next Compellent. We're not going to have a next what almost was with Net Perceptions. I mean, we have to, I would suggest, be willing to give up some time to help keep these things going so that one day we have these really large, viable companies.
Yep. More people willing to share of their time and their expertise. Exactly. And I join you in being willing to do that. That's great.
Well, Paul, I want to thank you for carving out an hour on a Saturday morning to chat with us, and also for writing that post. That was awesome.
Well, so, I thank you guys. It's going to be nice to see what we can do next.
Sounds great.
Yeah, thanks, Paul.
All right, gentlemen. Have a great weekend.
Oh, hey, Steve, what else before we go? This is the last Minute of Eight podcast before the Apple tablet comes out.
Don't even get me started.
And our podcast will be changed forever after.
Indeed it will.
God, you're right. I don't think we'll ever talk about it.
I'll see you in line at the Apple store on Thursday.
There you go.
Alrighty. Cool.
All right, take care, gentlemen.
See you guys. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Go Vikes. Go Vikes. In your